I'm Gareth Thomas, and I want to share my secret with you.
Today, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that artists cannot be thrown in jail if they decline to express messages that the government disagrees with.
Freedom of religion does not mean freedom to discriminate. Personal convictions cannot be used as an excuse for outward bigotry.
My parents were fairly progressive, but many of the people around me were not as sensitive to LGBTQ issues as they were. Overwhelmingly, being gay was seen as a bad thing by those around me.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Indonesia's president stalls draconian anti-sex laws, a Welsh rugby icon races out of the HIV closet, and Arizona's Supreme Court blesses religious bias. Those stories and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Travis Avery.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 21st, 2019. Indonesia will not be making consensual adult sex outside of heterosexual marriage a crime, at least for the time being. President Joko Jokowi Widodo has put the brakes on the expected passage of a revised criminal code that was loaded with just such draconian proposals. Widodo's September 20th press statement said he was responding to the mounting criticism of some provisions in the bill. He did not specify which provisions he thinks need to be thoroughly reviewed, but the president said that he had asked the Law and Human Rights Ministry to convey his position to Parliament. The criminal code was expected to pass on September 24th, but Widodo's statement said that further consideration should be postponed and that the bill should not be passed during the current sitting period. Its opponents say that the code would be criminalizing normal activities and call it a threat to civil rights, including free speech and privacy in the world's largest Muslim-majority nation. The Post reports seeing a late draft of the bill with provisions they say try to regulate morality and criminalize cohabitation outside of marriage and the promotion of contraception.
A press release from Human Rights Watch called the proposed revised criminal code disastrous, not only for women and religious and gender minorities, but for all Indonesians. Couples convicted of having private consensual adult sex outside of traditional marriage would face up to 6 months in jail. A woman could be sent to prison for up to 4 years for having an abortion, and anyone who helps her terminate her pregnancy would face up to 5 years. A ban on sex outside of heterosexual marriage would have an impact on queer people as well. Jessica Stern of Outright Action International pointed out that current laws against immorality or obscenity in the Southeast Asian nation are often used to prosecute gay people. Stern warned that the proposed changes to the criminal code will introduce specific references to same-sex acts, and as such, will give authorities in Indonesia even more legal backing to persecute LGBTQ people. The Jakarta Post noted that the next sitting of Indonesia's parliament is scheduled to begin on October 1st. That's when new and returning lawmakers could consider any proposed changes to the revised criminal code.
This week's LGBTQ Pride birth announcement comes from Kharkiv, the second largest city in the Ukraine. An estimated 2,000 marchers were protected by some 2,500 police officers as they filled a square outside a downtown subway station on September 15th. Authorities restricted the event to the station, so participants marched back and forth there for about 2 hours. A report by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, described marchers waving rainbow flags and chanting, "We are all equal, we are all different." A request by Mayor Gennady Kernes to a local court to ban the march was rejected. Right-wing opponents had threatened violence if the march went ahead, and eggs were thrown at Pride marchers. Many scuffled with riot police in the nearby park. There were at least 17 arrests, and 2 officers were injured by tear gas. A few opponents also laid down in the middle of the procession in a failed effort to block it. Peaceful marchers simply walked around them.
Far-right protesters also clashed with police after failing to stop a September 15th LGBTQ Pride March in Belgrade, Serbia. The center of the capital was cordoned off by police to protect the participants, which included lesbian Prime Minister Ana Brnabic and her partner. About 150 protesters gathered before the march, many of them holding Orthodox Christian banners and crosses and singing religious songs. Five protesters were arrested for refusing to move away from the route of the parade. Earlier Pride marches were plagued by violent ultra-nationalist attacks, but there have been no serious incidents since 2014. This year's banners proclaimed, "I will not be silent," and "We do not decide about your marriage." Brnabic issued a celebratory statement saying, "Today we are sending a message of tolerance, which has to be preserved in Serbia. I think we are heading in the right direction." However, Brnabic has been criticized by queer activists for doing nothing to advance LGBTQ rights since she took office in 2017. She's also been charged with using her position to secure rights not generally available to other LGBTQ people in the country. Her partner gave birth via in vitro fertilization overseas earlier this year. According to the Associated Press, a banner held up at the start of the march asked, "Prime Minister, how is it living with all those privileges?"
Shockwaves continue to ripple across Rwanda following the self-outing of one of the country's most popular gospel singers. Albert Nabonibo came out recently during an interview with a Christian YouTube channel. Even though Rwanda is not an example of the blatant and aggressive governmental and religious homophobia that's common in the region, same-gender love is still a generally taboo subject in the Central African nation. Most LGBTQ people in Rwanda stay closeted. The 35-year-old Nabonibo nevertheless told the Associated Press that he could no longer live in denial. However, he said the reaction from family, friends, and fans has been mostly horrible. But Nabonibo says, "There's no going back, because I have to live my real life." Aside from his gospel ministry, Nabonibo works as an accountant. He said he's been ostracized since his coming out announcement and worries about losing his job. Some of his best friends spoke with the AP only if they were not named. "I don't understand why he thinks this is normal," one said. Another said he had blocked Nabonibo on his phone because he wants to keep safe. But Rwanda's foreign affairs minister tweeted his support, encouraging Nabonibo to continue his worship ministry. He wrote, "All Rwandans are born and remain equal in rights and freedoms."
U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson was quoted this week describing transgender women as big hairy men who threaten to infiltrate women's homeless shelters. It's just the latest Trump administration anti-queer revelation. The Washington Post cites three people who were present when the remarks were made during an internal meeting at the agency's San Francisco office. Many jaws dropped among the approximately 50 staff members who attended the meeting, according to those who were there. At least one woman reportedly walked out in disgust. Aside from holding a medical license, Carson is certifiably transphobic. He opposes military service by qualified trans personnel and regularly refers to transgender people as abnormal. As Housing and Urban Development Secretary, Carson has weakened Obama-era protections for transgender people. He insists that he believes in equal rights, but not special rights. One government official told the Post that Carson's latest comments are not unusual, saying that his overall tone is dismissive and joking about these people. It's disrespectful of the people we are trying to serve. All the insiders who spoke with the Post did so anonymously, because they said they feared retaliation. A chorus of human rights activists quickly condemned the housing secretary. Newly installed Human Rights Campaign President Alfonso David remarked that, "During a year in which at least 19 transgender people, 18 of them black trans women, have been killed in the United States, these remarks serve to only exacerbate this crisis, further dehumanizing the most vulnerable among us." referencing the same statistics Jillian Brandstetter of the National Center for Transgender Equality called Carson's comments gravely insulting.
But finally, within days of queer British pop singer Sam Smith declaring a preference for the pronouns they, them, themselves, the newest edition of the influential American-English Merriam-Webster Dictionary has acknowledged non-binary people's use of those words as singular, gender-neutral pronouns. According to Pink News, they, them, themselves has already been recognized as such by the Oxford English Dictionary and Dictionary.com. Merriam-Webster explained in a blog post that the move was an expansion of a use that is sometimes called the singular they. They has been in consistent use as a singular pronoun since the late 1300s, and regardless of what detractors say, nearly everyone uses the singular they in casual conversation and often in formal writing. They is taking on a new use, however, as a pronoun of choice for someone who doesn't identify as either male or female. In a series of tweets, singer Smith declared that, "After a lifetime of being at war with my gender, I've decided to embrace myself for who I am inside and out. I hope you can see me like I see myself now."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending September 21st, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Travis Avery.
Simply being okay with LGBTQ people and their issues is not enough. Although silence may seem like a neutral position, when there are people actively working to strip LGBTQ people of their rights, silence actually contributes to their oppression.
Outcasting's School for Allies is back in session later in the program. Retired Welsh rugby star Gareth Thomas came out as a proud gay man in 2009. But he says keeping another big secret has taken its toll. After a tabloid newspaper threatened to reveal his status, Thomas posted an emotional video on September 14th to announce that he's HIV positive.
Hello, I'm Gareth Thomas, and I want to share my secret with you. Why? Because it's mine to tell you. Not the evils that make my life hell threatening to tell you before I do. And because I believe in you and I trust you. I'm living with HIV. Now you have that information that makes me extremely vulnerable, but it does not make me weak. Now even though I've been forced to tell you this, I choose to fight, to educate and break the stigma around this subject. And that begins today when I take on the toughest Ironman in the world in Tenby and I push myself physically to the limits. I'm asking you to help me to show that everyone lives in fear of people's reactions and opinions to something about them, but that doesn't mean that we should have to hide. But to do this, I really, really need your support.
Thomas successfully completed the grueling 140-mile triathlon the very next day to prove that he's more than physically fit. The photo finish splashed across many news sites as he completed a 26.2-mile marathon shows him running into husband Stephen's embrace. Dozens of high-profile athletes and other well-known figures, including Prince Harry, used social media to express their support for Thomas.
Welcome to AZ. Welcome to AZ. Yay.
The issue of discrimination in commercial services jumped off of the wedding cake and onto the invitation in the U.S. state of Arizona this week. This Way Out associate producer Lucia Chappell has the story.
The state Supreme Court ruled that the Phoenix anti-discrimination ordinance could not force the owners of a small business to go against their religious beliefs to make invitations for a same-gender wedding. However, Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego says that the court's decision does not invalidate the ordinance altogether.
City of Phoenix's non-discrimination ordinance still stands. That means that non-discrimination ordinances in other communities, such as Tucson, Tempe, Flagstaff, and Bisbee, also still stand. Today's decision is not a win, but it is not a loss. It means we will continue to have a debate over equality in this community. We believe at the City of Phoenix that, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, the arc of justice is long. It will bend towards equality, but we will continue to have this discussion and this debate. Our ordinance will continue to protect the rights of Phoenicians. I want to be clear, the City of Phoenix does not and will not tolerate hate in any form. That doesn't change with today's ruling, and we will not stop with our fight.
Brush and Nib is the business that challenged the anti-discrimination ordinance. Co-owner Joanna Duca explained their reasons.
At Brush and Nib Studio, Brianna and I create beautiful, handmade artwork to celebrate weddings and other events. We can spend hours or even days imagining, creating, designing these custom artistic pieces. This process is very personal for us. We pour our hearts and our souls into our custom artwork, and we care deeply about the messages that artwork expresses. With each pen and brush stroke, we seek to craft a message that is beautiful and inspiring. The messages we convey through our art mean so much to us. Brianna and I will gladly serve everyone, but we cannot create custom artwork celebrating certain events, and the government should not control those expressive decisions. But Phoenix sought to do just that. It threatened us with criminal prosecution, jail time, and fines if we simply decided to politely decline requests to create custom wedding invitations expressing messages that violate our deepest convictions.
The Southern Poverty Law Center identifies the Alliance Defending Freedom as a conservative Christian advocacy group that supports the recriminalization of homosexuality. ADF attorney Jonathan Scruggs argued for Brush and Nib.
Today, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that artists cannot be thrown in jail if they decline to express messages that the government disagrees with. Everyone should enjoy the freedom to peacefully live out their beliefs without the fear the government would force them to promote messages that violate their core convictions. Regardless of one's view on marriage, this is a win for all citizens of Arizona, because a government that can crush Joanna and Brianna can crush any one of us. As Christians, Joanna and Brianna's faith inspires the artwork that they imagine, design, and handcraft. Through their custom artwork, they seek to convey messages that are consistent with their beliefs. And as the court explained today, this means that while they create artwork for all people, they cannot create custom artwork to celebrate and promote messages they disagree with. What matters is the message, not the person.
Mayor Gallego stood strong in spite of the ruling.
For more than 3 years, the City of Phoenix has been in court fighting for the rights of our residents. The defendants were a local business, but they were backed by a national group that is extensively involved in litigation. This case was never about one business refusing to acknowledge the humanity of our LGBTQ community. It was about whether we will accept discrimination in our community. The ordinance is not just something nice to have on paper. It's something we have seen been used to lodge complaints by community members who feel they have been unfairly targeted. We all deserve to live in a city that accepts our individuality and our freedom of expression. And a core tenet of our nation is freedom of religion, but freedom of religion does not mean freedom to discriminate. Personal convictions cannot be used as an excuse for outward bigotry. If you serve someone in your community, you should serve all people in our community. As Paul Smith, a First Amendment expert, so eloquently put it, we've never allowed a commercial business to justify discrimination against a protected class based on the First Amendment. We shouldn't start now. We are in the middle of a robust debate on equality and one that I think will continue, but the City of Phoenix is standing firmly in support of equality, and our ordinance does still stand.
Reporting for This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle.
You got to have friends. The feelings are so strong. You got to have friends to make that day last long.
Friends are to life what allies are to social change. The non-LGBTQ youth of Outcasting Overtime are learning what friendship and being an ally really mean.
This is Outcasting Overtime. From Outcasting Media, producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Andrew, a youth participant in Outcasting's main studio in Westchester County, New York. On this edition, Outcaster Dhruv talks about what he has learned about the experiences of LGBTQ people through Outcasting and how this has inspired him to become a more active and empathetic ally.
I don't remember the first time I stumbled upon something LGBTQ related in my childhood. However, I had heterosexuality pounded into my head through every form of media I viewed. Picture books, animated movies, and most forms of entertainment consumed by children depicted exclusively straight romantic relationships. So naturally, I was a little bit confused when I saw a news story about a man who was described as gay. My mother explained homosexuality to me in neutral terms, as a woman loving another woman or a man loving another man. Her explanation came with no negative connotation, so while it was a new concept to me, I didn't necessarily view being gay as a bad thing. So imagine my confusion when I got to middle school and heard my classmates calling each other gay as an insult. My parents were fairly progressive, but many of the people around me were not as sensitive to LGBTQ issues as they were, including many members of my extended family. Overwhelmingly, being gay was seen as a bad thing by those around me. As I made my way through high school, people matured. They stopped using gay as an insult, and as the social climate of our area grew increasingly progressive, LGBTQ issues became something I began to pay attention to. They turned from something I was vaguely aware of to something at the forefront of my mind. This feeling grew as I found out that several of my friends were members of the LGBTQ community. Suddenly, becoming involved in some sort of activism, or at the very least staying up to date on the issues, began to feel like a responsibility. So when a producer from Outcasting came to a meeting of my school's Gay Straight Alliance, or GSA, to recruit new participants for Outcasting, I jumped at the opportunity. How could I pass up the chance to build my college resume while also diving into youth activism? Little did I know how important my experience at Outcasting would end up being. It has provided me with an incredible depth of knowledge about LGBTQ issues, as well as a newfound compassion for the experiences of the people I met here. Outcasting was my first real job experience. Attendance at our sessions is mandatory, and we have to show up every session ready to work hard to keep up with our production deadlines. It taught me technical skills, such as audio editing and how to record for radio, as well as how to organize a team and meet our goals on time. Most importantly, however, Outcasting has opened my eyes to the struggle that so many people go through on a daily basis, a struggle I would not have otherwise been aware of as a straight ally. It has allowed me to speak to people of many gender identities and sexual orientations, and to listen to their personal stories about coming out and dealing with the personal, family, and social ramifications of doing so. It forced me to consider the fact that many close friends have experienced hardships because our society doesn't fully accept them for who they are. The most important aspect of allyship that Outcasting has taught me is that, although silence may seem like a neutral position, when there are people actively working to strip LGBTQ people of their rights, silence actually contributes to their oppression. Simply being okay with LGBTQ people and their issues is not enough. There needs to be an active movement to support and push forward the rights of the LGBTQ community. Passive comments that may seem insignificant to a straight cisgender person, such as those used by my middle school classmates, can have a profoundly negative effect on someone who is struggling with their sexuality or gender identity. Outcasting has taught me to be sensitive to the issues that people may have under the surface, and it's taught me how to help others become more sensitive to this as well. My work at Outcasting has helped me grow into a more empathetic and responsible person, and many of the skills I learned here will undoubtedly help me going forward into college and beyond.
Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime, a feature from Outcasting, Public Radio's LGBTQ youth program. Outcasting Overtime is a production of Media for the Public Good, a nonprofit independent producer based in New York. Our executive producer is Mark Sofis. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to Outcasting and Outcasting Overtime. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
And for those who are not allies, and for some who only think they are, consider this classic poem by Pat Parker.
For the straight folks who don't mind gays, but wish they weren't so blatant. You know, some people got a lot of nerve. Sometimes I don't believe the things I see and hear. Have you met the woman who's shocked by two women kissing and in the same breath tells you that she's pregnant? But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or this straight couple sits next to you in a movie and you can't hear the dialogue because of the sound effects. But gays shouldn't be blatant. And the woman in your office spends your whole lunch hour talking about her new bikini drawers and how much her husband likes them. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or the hip chick in your class rattling a mile a minute while you're trying to get stoned in a john about the camping trip she took with her musician boyfriend. But gays shouldn't be blatant. You go in a public bathroom, and all over the walls, there's John loves Mary, Janice digs Richard, Pepe loves Dolores, etc. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Or you go to an amusement park, and there's a tunnel of love, and pictures of straights painted on the front, and grinning couples coming in and out. But gays shouldn't be blatant. Fact is, blatant heterosexuals are all over the place. Supermarkets, movies, at work, in church, in books, on television, every day and night, every place, even in gay bars. And they want gay men and women to go hide in the closets. So to you straight folks, I say, sure, I'll go, if you go too, but I'm polite, so after you. Thank you.
That was the late, great lesbian feminist poet, Pat Parker. A gay superstar meets a young fan backstage.
This kid's 10 years old, and he's announced to us that he wants to be a country artist. He's also announced to us that he believes that he's gay. How are you going to speak into this kid?
Out and proud country singer-songwriter Ty Herndon sits down for a wide-ranging chat with our Brian DeShazer. Next time on This Way Out. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Perry and Travis Avery, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Outcasters Drew Van Andrew, produced by Mark Sofas. Cheche, Brad Paisley, and Bette Midler performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Paul Bannon, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible, and we hope that includes you. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Chiampa Radio, Tampa, Florida, KCMJLP, Colorado Springs, Colorado, WERU, Bangor, Maine, and a diverse array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Stay tuned.